building a throne for God to come and sit upon. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want the King to come into the house today. And I believe that we have done just that, that we have set an atmosphere, amen, that God can move and God can bless. I want to give honor to your pastor, amen, Brother Downs and Bishop Downs, amen, and Brother Morty, happy birthday, all the way from Fiji, happy birthday, amen, and his lovely wife, Brooke, we just met before service tonight, amen. You got a great group of leaders here, and I'm very honored that they have allowed me to come and share with you the word of the Lord tonight, amen. I have my family with me as well, and my wife, Jeanette, and I have three little ones here. Justice is 10, and Callan is 8, and my little lady is Eva, and she is 7, and they are traveling with Dad today, and I'm grateful for this church and the church in Sydney. Sometimes I get to go a lot by myself, but they were so kind. You guys were so kind to let me bring my family with me today. So I'm not running solo. I got the full complement with me today. And so I feel good because I know I'm going to have at least 4 amens in the house. Amen. If nobody else does today. And so I bring you greetings from Fiji. I'm the missionary and Bible College administrator in Fiji in the Solomon Islands. And we are here in the Pacific. I grew up in Canada. So I too am in part of the British Commonwealth today. And I grew up in Canada, and we are so honored to be here. What a great group of young people. When I see a group of young people like this, I get so excited because I see future. Amen. I see what God has in store. Amen. I see missionaries and pastors and evangelists and some prophets and some apostles that are going to go and trailblaze. And I believe that there's some home Bible study teachers, some Sunday school teachers. Amen. Morty, someday you may move on. There's some youth pastors in this place today. Amen. And I'm thankful. I whenever I get an opportunity to preach to young people like this, I'm preaching to the future. Amen. Not that you're not operating in the present. You're the church of today. Amen. But I'm preaching to where God is taking you and what God is going to do in your heart and in your life. The beauty of it is God has a plan and God has a purpose. And I'm grateful for that today. Amen. I want to turn in the word of the Lord to Exodus chapter 32. Now, I have my tablet, which is acting kind of funny, so I was a little nervous tonight because I didn't want my first message in to get messed up by a tablet that didn't get an update and shuts off. So don't get nervous. I brought Old Faithful with me. It's been with me a long time, and there's a lot of message notes in here, so don't get nervous. I'm not preaching this whole thing tonight. It's my backup system in case this one goes down today. Amen. But I want to read Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 16 through 19. It says, in the tables, you know what? Could you do me a favor? Can we just stand? I know it's just my thing that I do to honor the word of the Lord. I'm just going to ask you, because you're going to be sitting for a little while. So I'll give you one more chance to get the blood to your from your feet and give you a little leg shake a little bit. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 16 says, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. This is when God wrote the Ten Commandments, and he took his finger and cut them out, and then he began to write on them. Verse 17 says, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. He said, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf. They had made the golden calf. Remember, and they were worshiping around that golden calf. And dancing. And Moses anger. He got angry and it waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and he broke them beneath the mount. Amen. I want to preach a little while from verse 17, and it says, "And Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted." He said there was a shout, there was a noise. The scripture says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord," referring to our worship and praise. He said there is a sound of noise in the as the people shouted. And he said unto Moses, "There is the noise of war in the camp." I want to just preach a little while on this. What is the sound of your camp? What's the sound in your camp today? Because the sound inside your camp is going to dictate what God can do through you and with you moving forward today. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power that I feel in this place today. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I thank you for each one of these young people and the plan and the purpose that you have for their life. Lord, I pray today that you would help us speak into their lives, that, Lord, that we might be able to minister, that your will and that your purpose would be accomplished. And Lord God, I give you praise and I give you glory and adoration, Lord, not only for what you have done, what you are doing, but what you are going to do in this place tonight. And I thank you for it and give you praise and glory and adoration in Jesus' name. Everyone shout amen. Turn to your neighbor and says what, and ask them, "What's that noise?" Turn to someone else and say it like you mean, "What's that noise?" All right, God bless you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. This story that we are telling was the story when God had called Abraham or called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and the presence of the Lord had came down, and there was darkness, and there was lightning, and there was thundering, and the people began to think that Moses, in the thundering and the lightning and the darkness, he'd been up there for so long, they began to think, "Oh my, Moses is dead, we've got no leader, we've got to find something out." And what they did is they began to go back to where they had come from. They began to go back to the gods that they used to see around when they were in Egypt before God brought them out of the land of promise. But you know, the reality was that Moses was up on the mountain and God was talking to him and God was communing with him and God was giving him the direction that he needed and giving him word of wisdom. And all they were seeing was the darkness, and all they were seeing was the thunder and the lightning, and they began to think that God wasn't there and that Moses was gone. I'm here to tell you today that just because there's darkness and just because there's thundering and lightning does not mean an absence of God. Amen. Sometimes that means God is doing something dramatic, that God is doing amazing things. And sometimes we only see the dark and the tough times and the struggle. We're coming out of a COVID type environment, and COVID is still plaguing. And for those that are still struggling with it, we're still praying for you and we're believing that God's going to touch you. But I want you to know today that COVID did not take God by surprise. God, when they began to shut things down, God was not up in heaven pulling his hair out going, "Oh my, what am I going to do? Well, how am I going to take care of this? What could possibly happen?" I'm here to tell you that God knew exactly what was going to happen. Amen. And God has a plan and God has a purpose and God has something in store for you. It may seem dark at the moment. It may seem a little frightening for a moment, but I'm here to tell you that in the middle of the darkest times, God God is the greatest. Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul said, in my weakness, he's made strong. Amen. When I'm going against a virus I can't see, and a virus that seemingly that it just kind of goes from person to person, and no matter how many, it's much I've masked up and all this stuff that's taken place, it still seems to get in. I'm here to tell you that in my weakness, God is still made strong. Amen. In the time that it's darkest, God is still strong, and God can still do. Amen. That scripture says he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even think of. But this is the key. It says, according to the power, or according to the Spirit of God that is working within you. Amen. I'm excited because I felt that I seen some young people here tonight that began to, that when the song began to play, when the worship began to go, that you connected with something beyond yourself. Amen. That you connected to the Spirit of God. Amen. Because that's why not when everything else is going around and fear is predominantly all around us, that we have a group of people that can come into this house and they still have a praise in their heart and they still have worship in their heart. Why? Because the scripture says, in the presence of the Lord, there is liberty. Liberty is freedom. Liberty is having the ability to look at it and say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that God's got this. Everyone say, God's got this. Oh, so I got like three people say it. Amen. I need everybody to say, God's got this. Amen. And so this story picks up. They got off track and they went back and they began to do the kind of what they saw the Egyptians do back in the land of promise. Or back in the, sorry, not the land of promise. Back in the slavery. Back in the wilderness. Or before the wilderness. And so here we have Moses up on the mountain communing with God, and Joshua says, I heard the sound, heard the noise of the people as they shouted, and he said to Moses, it is the noise of war in the camp. Amen. Whatever we are doing, whatever the sound that is coming from us is going to either give credence to God or give credence to the world. You can be in church and still talk bad about somebody and still, you know, gossip about somebody or say, you know, talk down somebody and then come in here and worship. But guess what? There's a sound. And that sound is going to dictate how God can move in your life. And just because God shows and God understands the war, there is all you, whatever you do, that's why the scripture says, in everything you do in word or deed, do all in what? In the name of Jesus. Now that doesn't mean you brush your teeth in Jesus' name. You know, that doesn't mean that you have to talk in tongues walking down the road everywhere. But what that means is that everything you do in word or deed. So that means whatever I say, and that means whatever I do, well, it would have God's stamp of approval on it. It's saying that God's okay with what I'm saying right now. That God's okay with what I'm doing right now. That God's okay with where I'm going right now. And it sets the atmosphere for God to move. Amen. I'm either for God or against God. I'm either working with him or working against him. Amen. When I begin to talk in school, is the sound of my camp, is it one that's pleasing to God? Amen. When I get online and begin to do the Facebook thing and begin to do the Instagram thing, is what I'm doing, is it bringing praise and worship and glory to God? Because everything I do is dictating the sound of my camp. Am I warring against the enemy, or am I sabotaging the things of the Lord? You can't serve two masters. Amen. But I want you to understand something, that just because because Joshua says something very unique at the end of this. He says this. He says, and he said unto them, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery. Does anyone know what that means? Does anyone understand? It's not the voice of them that shout for mastery. That means it's not the voice of somebody who's got it, that knows they're good, that they got it under control. You know, it's kind of like that sports figure that goes into the huddle, or I kind of got a North American sports mind here, and I'm thinking football, basketball, and baseball, and you guys are thinking rugby, soccer, and cricket, and that's how I'm trying to get that. Maybe not quite like that. Amen. But you go in there, and the old Michael Jordan, and he didn't go into the huddle 2 points down and say, maybe you should give the ball to Scottie Pippen. Now that's it's pretty bad, Brother Downs, when I'm probably referring to things that guys that are so old now that nobody knows who they are anymore. Amen. I'm dating myself a little bit. Amen. But they didn't go into that mode. You know, we talk about Kobe Bryant and the Mamba mentality, you know. He didn't go into that moment and say, you know what, I'm going to pass it off to somebody else. No, there was an understanding that I'm good and I'm going to win this game. I've got this. Everything is under control. Amen. When it comes to the things of God, somebody who shouts for mastery is somebody that comes in that God has done a miracle. Have you ever experienced God do a miracle in your life? Has anyone ever been healed before? Has anyone ever seen a miracle? I remember the first miracle that I ever saw. I was only about 12 years old. And I tell this story a lot because it's so imprinted on my mind, I'll never forget it as long as I live. We had an event. My dad was a pastor. I grew up in a pastor's home. And we had an evangelist there. His name was Jonathan Vorse. I don't even know where he is today. Amen. But he was preaching for my dad that weekend. And there was a lady in our church, and I had known her my whole life. And she came in, and as kids, we always noticed because she had one shoe that was about this thick and another shoe that was about, you know, just regular thick, because she had one leg that was shorter than the other leg. And so she had a thicker shoe so she could walk normally. And I watched that night as he began to preach and faith began to go, that he told her to come, or he told everybody, anyone who needed healing, to come. And she came up. And she took off her shoes, and I remember she sat down in a seat, and he held her heels in his hand. So he was just kind of standing like this, and one of her heels was at my index finger, and the other heel was about at my pinky finger. And I remember as a probably 12, 13-year-old boy, I remember looking, and I'd never really paid attention before, and I was like, my goodness, I didn't realize why she wore those thick shoes. Now I know why. And as they began to pray, and as they began to pray in the name of Jesus, I will never forget, as that leg, as they were praying, that leg that was at the pinky finger grew to meet the other leg that was at the index finger. You can say, oh, miracles don't happen. I'm here to tell you, I saw the leg grow, and it wasn't some sort of plan thing. I've known that lady since I was old enough to know somebody. I knew what she was like, and I knew that she'd wear those shoes forever. But I watched that night, and to this day, amen, she still wears two normal shoes. Her leg has grown out and has stayed out. I have seen the glory of God. I've seen the healing power of God. I've seen the miracles of God. And so when you see something like that, you don't just kind of walk around like, well, that was wonderful. Woo. My. No. When something like that happens, you're like, woo! Nobody has to tell you to worship. Let me tell you, when that happened that night, there was people running the aisles and dancing that I'd never even seen move in my whole life. I mean, it was wild because they had seen the demonstration of God and the power of God. They had seen. So I remember one guy who came in out of the world, and he was a gangbanger, and his face was tatted. I can't remember. I think he had teardrops for everyone that he had Well, you know what he had done, you know, and he was just a bad dude. I was scared to death of the guy. And like, you know, you're kind of praying for him, like, God, do something so he doesn't hurt me. And I watched as God moved in that guy's life. And I watched him as God forgave him of his sins. And I watched him as he began to ask God for the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, and I'll never forget when I saw those tears start rolling down his face. And then I began to hear him speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And let me tell you, he came from a really, really, really rough background. But I never even heard. Hardly seen him smile ever. He was just always looked like he was mad. He looked like he was mean at me. And that night I watched as the joy of the Holy Ghost began to move in his life and began to move in his heart. Amen. He began to dance and he began to shout and he began to praise God. I mean, this guy wouldn't lift up his hands for nothing. And you know, unless the cop said, put your hands up, he knew how to do that. Amen. But I mean, he didn't run for nobody. He didn't do nothing. I watched that night as he ran back and forth in front of that church and danced and shouted with the joy of the Lord. Why was that? He was in a place of mastery. He was in a place of victory. I've never seen any sports event where they win the game and they just say, good job, and walk off the field. No. I mean, there's a dog pile, there's high fives, there's fireworks, there's streamers. Why? Because it's the season of victory. It's a season of mastery. And sometimes when you come into church, that's the season you're in. You're in the season of mastery. You're in the season of victory. God might have just given you a job. God may have just filled you with the Holy Ghost. God may have just repaired a relationship, or God had done something in your life, and you're sitting there shouting and dancing. And God says, when they are like that, I respond to that. You don't believe me? Let's go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. Do you remember the story of Jericho? And they're walking around the walls of Jericho 7 days. God said, I'm going to bring the walls down. You just march for 7 days. And they're walking around there for once a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they go around it 7 times. And Joshua tells them, and boys and girls, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, he said, you shout with the voice. I'm going to preach on that on Sunday morning. You shout with a voice of triumph. You shout. Why? Because God had given them a word. They had trusted in God. They believed in God. And when the trumpet went, they didn't go, hallelujah. No, it was a shout. Yes, hallelujah. When they began to shout, God began to respond. Why? It was a shout of victory. It was a shout of a mastery. It was a shout of somebody whose faith in God was at its peak. When somebody's faith in God was kind of at the high point. And God said, I respond to people who have the sound of mastery. But you know what? That wasn't the only one. Joshua said also, he said, but also I hear the sound. It's not also the sound of the, see, it says in verse 18, he said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that shout for being overcome. Because you see, God responds to those who shout for mastery is what Joshua was saying. But he also responds to them that cry out in a place of overcoming. That's why in a church service, it's so amazing. See, the sound of your camp is going to dictate what God can do. Sometimes you're on the mountaintop. Sometimes you're on fire. Sometimes things are going right. But also Joshua said, you know, and I know God responds to those that shout or those that cry out for being overcome. Because he said, you know what? There's sometimes when I come into the house of the Lord and I feel beaten. And I feel down, and I feel discouraged, and I feel overcome. Anybody else ever feel that way? You had some bad days, and you feel like you just want to, you know, kick something or hit something, or sometimes you just want to, you know, my wife would say, sometimes I just need a good cry. And we think, oh, but God only responds to those that are on fire. And we see them dancing in the front, and we see people with raising their hands, and we're getting excited. And we're sitting there thinking, God will never respond to me because I'm not in that place of mastery. But Joshua gives away something because he said, it's also not the sound of them that are overcome. He said, because God would also respond to the one that's been overcome, the one that's failed, the one that's made a mistake, the one that didn't do everything just right. But in the midst and in the pit and in the bottom, they just say, God, I need you. And God says, whoo, that's all I needed. Amen. I'm here. I've been waiting for you to call. Amen. My Lord, have mercy. Can I share something with you right now? The scripture says that God will never leave us, never forsake us. Isn't that what the scripture says? But sometimes we think we get the Holy Ghost, and then we make a mistake that the Holy Ghost somehow jumps back out of us again. And then we get it fixed up, and the Holy Ghost jumps back in, and then we do a mistake, and the Holy Ghost jumps back out. And so we think that, you know what, I can just, you know, bounce here and bounce, and God's gone, and then I need to get God back. No, the scripture says he does not leave you nor forsake you. So what happens is when you receive the Holy Ghost, it's a gift from God. Now this is just an iPhone 7, so it's not going to be a very good gift. It's an old phone. It's barely holding on. But it'd be pretty bad if I went to my brother and said, hey, bro, have a phone. And man, he's all excited about the gift, you know. And then he drops the phone on the ground. And I'm like, dude, give me my phone back. Is that how you do it with a gift? You know, it may annoy me a little bit that you dropped it on the ground. I think, man, you take care of this phone. I gave you this phone. But I don't, or he takes it, and this guy here, he says something rude to me, and he lets him use his phone. Bro, you can't let him use my phone. I gave it to you. Do you see how God just because you don't do with it what God thinks you should do with it, doesn't mean God takes it away from you. Is that understandable to you? You know what happens when you, who wants to help me again? I need someone to help me. You want to help me again? All right, you help me again. Because you know what he is right now? Hey, man, this guy here is a Holy Ghost. All right? And he won't leave me, and he's not going to forsake me. But guess what? When I bring sin in my life, you know what it does? Puts handcuffs on him. Put your hands behind your back. He's got handcuffs now. He's still with me. But guess what? My sin has brought him to a place of not being able to operate in my life the way that he would like to operate in my life. And so it don't matter where I go. Listen, sometimes we think, oh, well, I've sinned, so now God's gone, so I can go do this stuff and God's not watching. Let me tell you, God's never left you. When you're out in that relationship that God's not pleased with, guess what? He's still there. Hey, man, you know what? You could be passed out drunk, and guess what? Everybody else left you and the cops are coming. He's still there. You know what he's waiting on? He's waiting for the cry of them that are overcome. He's waiting for the cry of that one that says, God, I can't do this no more. God, I am weary. I am down. I can't make it. And guess what happens? As soon as I say that, all of a sudden, it just... He's just like Samson, busting off the cuffs. And you know what? I need someone. I need someone. So, you know what? You can come help me right there. I know this guy. He can come help me. Because you know what? Let me explain something else to you right now. I'm sorry, bro, but I had to do someone I trusted. Because you're the devil. Now, I don't normally hug the devil, but I'm going to hug the devil. All right? So put the handcuffs back on. Guess what? I got the Holy Ghost is with me. But guess what? When the devil sees that he's handcuffed, guess what? He doesn't leave me. Because he knows I may have the Holy Ghost, but I got junk in my life that's You know how I know? Because he's hanging with me. And as long as I keep sin in my life, and as long as I stay overcome, that the Holy Ghost is there, but he can't help me. And the devil, he's in my ear. He's in my business. He's walking around with me. He's not afraid of me. He's not afraid of the Holy Ghost, because he knows I've got God all bound up. But let me tell you this, and he's hanging close. You stick close to me. You got the Holy Ghost here. You stick close to me too. So everywhere I go, you guys go. So guess what? He sticks close to me, because he knows that God can't do anything. But when I have that cry of the one that overcometh, I'm the one that finally come to the place where I realize I am low, I can't do it anymore, and I find that place of prayer, and God, I say, God, I need you. Lord, forgive me. Lord God, I can't do it on my own. And all of a sudden, boom, this busts out. What do you think that guy's doing? Amen. He's getting out of here. Why? Because he's not afraid of me, but he is afraid of him. Amen. I'm here to tell somebody right now, amen, that we serve a God that's a God of overcoming. Amen. The God that'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. And it's easy to shout. It's easy to dance. But I'm here to tell you, you might have come in here tonight overcome. Amen. But if you'll cry out to God in that place of overcoming, God will make a way. Amen. God, I tell you what, you think you know tough? God's greater than your situation. God's bigger than your problem. God's bigger than anything you're going through. All he's saying is, let me go. Thank you, guys. Oh, hallelujah. Give the devil and give the Holy Ghost a hand right now. You see, that's why when this, to me, it's such a beautiful picture. That's why Jonah heard the voice of God. Remember the story of Jonah and the whale? He heard the voice of God. God was used him. He said, I've got a message. I've got a word for you. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And Jonah went and tried to do his own thing, got chucked in the river, got swallowed by a whale. The scripture literally says he got seaweed wrapped around his head. Listen, you don't get any lower then fish guts and seaweed wrapped around your head in the belly of a fish that's digesting you. Now, you've had some bad days, I'm sure. But there ain't nobody been swallowed by a fish, guts all around you, because you ain't the only one he swallowed, by the way. Seaweed wrapped around your head with a guilty conscience. You can't go nowhere. I mean, what are you going to do? You're just in the belly thinking, I hope he doesn't eat anything bigger than me. And in the midst of that, it says, and Jonah cried out to God. The scripture says a second time. And God heard his cry. And God spoke to him. Why? Because God responds to the voice of those that have been overcome. The one that, I know that God responds to the ones that got faith. And you go, everybody goes through stuff. The scripture says it rains on the just and the unjust. So whether you're good or whether you're bad, guess what? We're all in a COVID world. It's going to rain on us all. But guess what? I've got faith in God. And so that's why I come into the church dancing and shouting. But somebody else may have gone through something totally different. But guess what? God hears their cry as well. Oh, I know. And you know what? God, I can't even talk right now. I'm so excited. Amen. It gets God's attention. Remember old blind Bartimaeus? Amen. He's beside the road and he's crying out. He hears Jesus. Let me just stop here real quick. I can't. I got to stop preaching. Oh, Lord. That's been preached a long time. My kids make fun of me. I'll say, just give me 5 more minutes. Then in 5 more minutes, I'll say, just give me 5 more minutes. But guess what? He's on his way. Now, sometimes we focus on what we don't have. We get so hung up on what we don't have. I'm going to tell you something that I wished I'd have known when I was your age that would have helped me be a lot further ahead in my walk with God. And that was this. I had things that I didn't do right or good, and I had things that I wasn't really good at. There was people that were better than me. And I was so focused on the things that I didn't have that I didn't use the things that God had given me. Blind Bartimaeus is on the road. He's blind. But guess what? He didn't have his eyesight. But instead of, you know, just focusing on the fact that he can't see, he began to implement some things that he did have. Guess what he still had that worked? His ears. The scripture says that he heard Jesus coming by. He heard him. He couldn't see him. And he thought, if I could see Jesus, then I'd be able to do this. If I could see Jesus, I could do this. But he said, I can't. So he listened and he heard Jesus coming that way. Then I heard someone else say the other thing that he had. He had a voice that still worked. And he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus. And they were like, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And he was like, no. He said, because I can't see where he is to get where he is. So I'm going to use what I got to get his attention. And he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And guess what happened? The scripture says that Jesus stopped. Why? Because he responds to the voice of him that has been overcome. That's the sound of a camp that he says, ha ha, I can work with that. I can move in that. And he says, bring him to me. That to me is my favorite part of that scripture, that story. You know why? Because he couldn't get to Jesus. So Jesus stopped and said, bring him to me. Let me give you something else. You know who had to bring him to him? The very people that were telling him to shut up. Sorry, kids. I'll say it in French so it doesn't sound as bad. Famille Labouche. Amen. Those same guys that were saying, be quiet, you know, quit disturbing, quit acting a fool. They were the same ones that Jesus said, hey, bring him to me. And they're like, oh, fine, you know. Listen, they may not like it, but they got to bring him. And it was in that, guess what else that I found out he had that worked that night? He had some feet. Because the scripture says that he got up and he went to Jesus. I'm here to tell you guys, you may not be perfect and you got things that you think are hang-ups. You know what? Quit focusing on what you're not doing right and focus on what you do have. You've got a heart after God. You've got a love for God. Amen. You've got breath in your body. Amen. You can do what God has called you to do. Amen. And just like Bartimaeus, you may go through seasons of overcoming, but we are serving a God that responds to those that have been overcome. As we stand together and as the music comes back, you see, it's the sound of the camp. The scripture says, Joshua said, it's not the sound of them that shout for mastery. So it's not those that are shouting victory. And it's not the sound of those that have the cry of being overcome. He said, it's just the sound of singing. In other words, he said, they just singing their song. In other words, they're just going through the motion. Because you see, when you are singing in church, guess what? You're not just singing. What are you doing? You're worshiping. And Joshua didn't say, it's the sound of them that worship that I hear. He said, it's just the sound of them that sing. Because you know what I see? I see people come to church and sing. And then there's other people that come and worship. And you know what? Everyone that worships, some of them are worshiping in a state of mastery. And then there's others that are worshiping in a state of crying out. You know what I'm talking about. There's times when I come to church and I'm worshiping God, but I'm worshiping him with brokenness inside. Then there's other times when I come to church and I'm worshiping God and I'm on cloud nine because I've had a great week. But guess what? God says, I still respond to them no matter what side of the pendulum they're on. But he said, but if they're just there singing, He said, I don't respond to that. He said, their focus is somewhere else. Their priority is somewhere else. Their trust is somewhere else. You know what? And I'm here to tell somebody, it may not be a great, big, massive demonstration, but I believe that God is going to speak to somebody's heart tonight. When Elijah prayed on the top of Mount Carmel, remember when he was praying for rain to cancel the drought that had been there a long time? He said this. He said, after he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. He said, I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to do it because I hear the sound. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. There was no great big demonstration. And tonight, there may not be a miracle like the size when the lady's legs grew out. It may be just simply God making himself real to him. Because I did a study on that where it says the sound of abundance of rain. There wasn't a cloud. There wasn't wind. There wasn't anything in the sky yet. But that word sound there, if you go back and study it in the Hebrew, it literally means the voice of God. He said, I've heard the voice of God and rain's coming. I don't see the clouds yet. I don't see the, but he said, I'm going to keep on praying because I've heard the sound of the voice of God. And the voice of God is saying, there's abundance of rain. I don't see the cloud yet, but I've got a word from God. Listen, that's what I feel like I am tonight to you. You haven't seen the cloud yet. You haven't seen the wind, felt the wind blow. But I'm here to tell you that God sent me here to tell you that get the sound of your camp right. Because God is about to rain on you afresh and anew. That God is going to bless. And God is going to lead you. And God is going to see you through. Amen. You might have come in here tonight and you might have came in here singing. But then throughout somewhere in this message, God started to talk to you. And maybe God's trying to restore your shout, restore your worship. Amen. And you may come in here and you're crying out saying, God, I can't make it without you. Amen. I'm here to tell you that God is going to visit you. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place. There's a sound in this camp. It's kind of the same sound that they heard on Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Our brother talked about it. They were there for 10 days. We've been here for a little while. But guess what? I still hear that same sound in the camp tonight. And I believe that God is going to make himself so real that God is going to overshadow and God is going to bless tonight. And I don't know your custom, and I don't know how you guys do things, and I don't know what your protocols are. And so if I'm out of step, your pastor's right there, and he can straighten it out for me. But I feel the prompting of God to get the sound of our camp right tonight. On this Friday night, before we head into the weekend, and I feel like God's given me some clear direction to share with this church, but you guys, God gave me the opportunity to get in on the ground floor and get the sound right tonight so that you're ready to receive what God has for you ladies tomorrow and for whatever God has for you on the services on Sunday, because God is wanting to catapult you and this youth group into a greater place than ever before. So I'm going to ask you tonight, if you would just step from where you are and make your way to the front of this church. And we're going to pray the prayer of faith over you. Don't worry. Someone step out first, because I know how it is with young people. Once one goes, they all go. Let's go. Hey, amen. Let's just kind of journey around. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But I just want to give you an opportunity. We're going to pray together. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. I feel like God has asked me to speak a word of prayer, prophecy over you today. And I believe that God is going to minister to you. Amen. I am overwhelmed right now with the spirit, with God's spirit of potential that's in this place right now. I feel like God has already been talking to you, and I'm confirming that there's ministries that have been being birthed in this place in people's hearts and lives, that you are preparing yourself. And the first step is, let's get the sound of our camp right. Let's make it real to God. Let's just say, God, you said you'd never leave me. So, Lord, I need you to wash me, forgive me, cleanse me. And as you ask God to forgive you, guess what? God will forgive you. God will wash you. God will cleanse you. There's nothing you've done that's too wrong. There's nothing you've done that's too bad for God. God's going to forgive. God's going to wash it. God's going to forgive you right now. And as you're done repenting, I want you to begin to worship God. I want you to begin to cry out to him. It doesn't matter if you're on top of the mountain or if you're in the valley. Let your voice out right now. Let God hear your voice right now. Let the sound